The following sermon, entitled Mara, was preached on the evening of June 20th, 2021, at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. If you enjoy listening to our sermons, we encourage you to come worship with us. For more information on service times and upcoming Bible study opportunities, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn together now to the Word of God in Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Then refers to the destruction of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Israel sang this song on the shores of the Red Sea in celebration of what the last verse of chapter 14 calls the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found a water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Verses 23 through 26 are the sermon text this evening. Israel at Marah. When was the last time that you were at Marah? If you say, "Well, I was never in what's called the Holy Land or in the desert of Sinai. I've never been there." And my answer to that is, I saw some of you there yesterday. And I know that some of you are at Marah today. Marah, you see, is not just the name of one of the places where Israel camped in the wilderness, but it's a place that every child of God must visit. If you haven't been to Marah, you will be someday, because the way to Canaan goes through Marah. You can't go to Canaan without going first to Marah. Let me try to explain that. That, what I've said, rests first of all on the truth, the great biblical truth, that you and I, by faith and by grace, are Israelites. Paul says that, or explains that, in Romans 2. Remember what he says there? He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, not in the letter, but in the spirit. And he explains that further in the last verse of Galatians 3. One of the most important verses in that precious book, Galatians 3, verse 29. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, you and I, though none of us, as far as I know, is a physical descendant of Abraham, are spiritual descendants of Abraham, and in God's sight, true Jews, true Israelites. And that means that the history of Israel, including the history of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, is your history and my history. And that's what I was getting at when I asked you when you were last at Marah. You've either been there or will be there on your way to Canaan. Belgic Confession. You can read it with me if you want. On page 51, Article 34, the article on baptism, takes note of that the history of Israel is our history, including Israel's encampment and what happened at Marah. About halfway through that article of the Belgic Confession, Article 34, talking about baptism, the article says, not that this is affected by the external water. Just been talking about the fact that baptism, the reality of baptism, not the sacrament, the reality of baptism sprinkles the soul, cleanses it from its sins, and regenerates us from children of wrath unto children of God. And then the Belgic Confession says, this is not affected by the external water. The water doesn't do anything except that it serves as a sign and seal. Not that this is affected by the external water, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is, the devil, and to enter in to the spiritual land of Canaan. The history of Israel is our history. Marah is one of the places to which you and I must go on our pilgrimage to that heavenly and spiritual land of Canaan, where God Himself has prepared a place for us. So the theme of this evening's sermon is simply Marah. And we're going to look at three things. Israel at Marah, the Christian at Marah, and then most importantly of all, God at Marah. Those three things this evening. Marah was the first camp of the Israelites after they left Egypt, the first camp after the Red Sea. They had traveled already 3 days through the wilderness, and for the first time experienced some of the difficulties of that long journey. It ended up taking 40 years, of course. But some of the difficulties of that long journey to Canaan. And they murmured. 3 days before, they had been singing the praises of God who delivered them from the Egyptians, from their enemies, and already they were murmuring. They weren't much different from us, were they? One moment on the heights of faith, and the next moment it seems like the Israelites murmuring and complaining about God's dealings with us. But the Word of God in Exodus 15, tells us several things about what happened at Marah. First of all, that God was testing them there. I'm going to come back to that in the third point of the sermon, but God brought them to Marah and brought them there to test them, try them. You read that in verse 25. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. It's another word for testing or trial. There he proved them. So that's one of the things we have to understand about Israel at Marah. But we have to see too, I mentioned that Israel failed that test at Marah when they murmured and complained, not against God, but against Moses. Again, very much like us, who instead of complaining directly to the Almighty, complain about this person or that person or this circumstance or that circumstance. Very much like us. But they failed that proving when they murmured and complained and said to Moses, "What shall we drink?" Where was the faith that had been so strong at the Red Sea, their confidence in God, that who had proved himself to them at the Red Sea? 3 days later, it seemed to be entirely gone. But that's very important. In the will of God, that doesn't excuse their sinfulness and never excuses ours. But in the will of God, they failed that test at Marah because God wanted to show them something. He wanted to show them that the bitterness of the waters at Marah was really in them. The problem was not so much with the waters, but with them. Their lack of faith, their lack of confidence in God, their murmuring and complaining. And that's why God said, when he talked about this, you read it in verse 26, that's why God said to them, not, "I'm the Lord that healeth the waters," but, "I'm the Lord that healeth thee." That was Israel at Marah, learning that the bitterness of their trials and afflictions in the wilderness was really the bitterness of sin in their own hearts. And that's where this has application to us, first of all, because as I said, this is our history. Mara, for you and for me, is every place of trial, temptation, trouble, distress, where we find that our way is difficult, and like Israel, are sorely tempted to murmur and complain. That's Mara in the life of God's people. That's the Christian at Mara. And I think you understand then why I said that I saw some of you at Mara yesterday, dealing with trials, struggling spiritually, finding God's way bitter indeed, and tempted, sorely, sorely tempted to murmur and complain as Israel did. So perhaps you can answer that question that I started with. Answer it for yourself, members of your own family, other members of the congregation. When were you last at Mara? Are you there now? Because Mara, though Israel was there only once, is a place in the life of the child of God to which he returns many times before he reaches the promised land. It's every place in his life where he is tried, it seems sometimes, to the very limits of what he is able to endure, and even beyond. Tempted in those trials by the devil himself and by his own nature to murmur against God who has brought him, as he always does, to Mara. Been there, haven't you? Or at least you know from other family members that every child of God, in one way or another, at one time or another, must be at Mara. In the will and providence and good pleasure of God, the way to Canaan goes through Mara. In fact, there's another verse in this history of Israel which reminds us of the fact that God deliberately, in his sovereign good pleasure, led them that difficult and hard way to the bitter waters of Mara, first of all. Exodus 13, verse 17, came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. That was the easy way, the quick way. Not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Something, isn't it? And itself a comfort. It's comforting to know that when you and I come to Mara, that that's God's way, that He's the one who brings us there. And we must, of course, not be like Israel and fail Mara's test by murmuring and complaining, though we often do. But learn, as Israel learned at Mara, that the real problem when trials and temptations and troubles seem to overwhelm us, when we're tempted to rebel and complain about God's way, the real problem is not with the way, not with the waters that God gives us to drink, but the real problem is within. We need far more than the waters do to be healed, don't we? And that's the great lesson that we ought to learn, even when we do fail that test and fall, as Israel did, into the sin of grumbling and complaining about God's way. And you must understand, too, that when we murmur and complain about a husband or a wife who doesn't seem to be behaving as they should, that doesn't excuse them, of course, if they're not behaving. But when we grumble and complain, as we sometimes do, we're really complaining against God, just as Israel did. When complaining against Moses, they were really saying, why did God lead us in this way? When we complain that our trials, illness, pain, all of the rest, family troubles, church troubles, complain and murmur about them, again, we're really complaining against God, as Israel did, and failing that test that God always, always, always sets for His people at Mara. The fact of the matter is, you know, that that fellow saint, that husband or wife about whom I'm so unhappy and forever murmuring and complaining, is the husband or wife that God gave me and the fellow believer whom God placed in my way and made part of my life in the church. And that's the reason, too, why murmuring and complaining is such a serious sin against God. It's really an act of rebellion against Him. The same kind of rebellion that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden, and continued to commit when they really blamed God Himself for what had happened. The woman Thou gavest me, the serpent You made, there's the problem. And in all of that, the lesson of Mara is that the real bitterness is not in the way in which God sends us, as difficult as that way may be. The real bitterness is not in the troubles and trials that are part of our earthly pilgrimage. The bitterness is the bitterness of sin. That's the reason why God says to us what he said to Israel. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's not those ways that need to be changed. Not those trials that need to be taken away. But the sin that's in my own heart and life that must be healed by the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. By the miracle of God's grace in Jesus Christ, to which the miracle at Mara pointed. You remember the story. God, instead of being angry with his people, told Moses, who had prayed to God for help, told Moses to cut down a tree that was there and throw it into the water, and the water was healed. There are those who say that that tree was a picture of the cross, the tree of the cross, perhaps. Others say that that tree is Jesus Christ himself. His branches, to quote the prophet, his branches reaching unto heaven, perhaps. But there's no doubt about it that the miracle points us to the miracle of God's grace in Jesus Christ, in which he heals us. That tree, however you interpret it, points to the cross and the resurrection and heavenly glory of our Lord and Savior as the only foundation and means of healing the bitterness of our souls. But on that basis, God revealed himself at Mara and continues to do so to us. The basis of Christ's finished work continues to reveal himself to us as the Lord, our hearer, our healer, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. And that healing begins, of course, with the healing that takes place when God, by his Spirit, works his grace in our hearts and lives and changes us from lost sinners to his own dear children, heals the bitterness of sin in us by the power of the blood of Christ, by the sovereign work of the Spirit, in regeneration, in justification and sanctification, and finally and forever, of course, in our glorification, proves himself to be Jehovah, our healer. But, and that's the lesson, one of the great lessons of Mara, he does that not only in spite of our trials and troubles, but through them and in them. He is not just Jehovah, our healer, when we recover from our illnesses, when our trials come to an end, when our troubles are resolved through prayer and by the word of God and with the help of others. But He is Jehovah, our healer, in those trials and in those troubles. This is another way, Mara, is another way of saying what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, all things work together for good to those who love God. Or what he says in 2 Corinthians 4, when he says this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Jehovah, our healer. You see that? In your trials, your struggles, your temptations, all those occasions when you are inclined to murmur and complain and grumble about God's way with you, that in them, He is Jehovah, your healer. Another way of putting it, if you will, would be to say that He makes those bitter waters of affliction and suffering and trouble, makes them sweet by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, part and parcel of our salvation, so that in a very real sense of the word, we must go to Mara. Whatever our Mara may be, in order to come finally to that heavenly and blessed land that God Himself has made ready for us. That's why the Word of God here talks about this as a statute and an ordinance. There He made for them, for Israel. And remember who Israel is. There He made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there He proved them. This is God's rule for the life of His people. That's what the Word of God is saying. This is the pattern which He follows in saving His people. Always. So that it can be no different for you and me than it was for Israel. This is His way with His people. And all of that, of course, is our comfort in the difficulties and problems, the trials and temptations that are part of our earthly life. That God is at Mara as the healer of His people. Those sufferings and trials are not an end in themselves, but the way in which the great God of our salvation shows Himself to be Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. So, beloved, my dear fellow believers, If you're at Mara, then remember, never forget that Jehovah, your healer, is there. The one who healed us first of all by the suffering and death of his Son, healed our sin-sick souls. And when you're inclined to grow weary in well-doing, to be discouraged, afraid, troubled, distressed, and even worse, to complain about God's way with you, whatever it may be, then remember that Jehovah, our healer, is always there at Mara. He not only leads his people there, but he's there as the God of their salvation. It's the one who accomplishes his own sovereign good pleasure in them by leading them in the way that he has planned for them from all eternity. The Word of God adds, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and that includes not murmuring and complaining, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. You know what God is saying there? He's saying that to those who are his people, and they are always, always, always those who walk in his ways and keep his commandments. They cannot be anything else. But they, upon them, those trials and afflictions will never be the judgments that came on Egypt. That's what God is saying. He afflicts us beyond what we seem able to bear, makes our life on our way to heaven difficult and fills it with trial. And how quickly we learn that, sends us time and again to that place that Exodus calls Mara. But in all of it, he does not put on us the diseases that he brought upon the Egyptians. And all for the sake of that greatest of all miracles, to which every miracle in Scripture points, the miracle of his saving grace in the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Mara. Remember it. Amen. Father in heaven, thank thee again for what we learned from thy word. And are sorry, Father, that we hear thy word and preach it with so much sin and weakness. And yet we trust that thou, through thy Spirit, wilt use it for our growth and grace and edification, and to bring us on our way to that heavenly Canaan. Forgive us the sins we have committed. Bless us in the remaining hours of this Lord's day. Lead us in the way everlasting. For Jesus' sake, amen.